Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Oops, wrong music. Okay, what you're about to listen to is the Shep and I talking about. This is the best of edition, all right, or worst of, whichever you prefer. But just an update. Let me get my latest update from Bath. Miss B. And so they did an ultrasound on him. He was good. Heart looks good. Transfer him down to the third floor and out of the ICU. So get him ready for physical therapy and to rest and recover after what he's been through. So there's your update on the Chef. And so now, without further ado, this is the Chef and I talking about putting the fun back in funerals. So here you have it. From April 13th, 2018, two years and about a month ago.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
Steppenwolf. Joining me from the great frozen north is the All Marine Radio head chef. He's now returned to his old jovial and human ways after being sick for about a month. So welcome back to the welcome back to the living.
Yeah, and thank you for inviting me back into your fold. Yeah, I feel great.
Well, that's good. That's good because you haven't felt great in a while. You guys got more snow, I saw?
Just about an inch the other night before the last.
Just about an inch.
It was the last little spanking. Now, Minneapolis is today and tomorrow, Sioux Falls. They're getting anywhere from 6 to 18 inches.
Of snow?
Yeah, of snow. We might get a little rain today. That's about it. I'm kind of thinking the snow thing is done here. We're projecting 50 degrees by next Friday, next Thursday. So, it'll be the first time it was 50 degrees for, you know, 6-7 months. I'm not sure. I can't remember that far back.
Wow.
Because my brain went into a deep freeze for the winter. It's starting to get better.
Wow. Well so that's good. That's good. So it's the joy of life in the upper plains. From the Associated Press this morning, just now, the Russian military says that an alleged chemical attack in Syria was staged and directed by Britain.
Oh, yeah, right. What the hell else are they going to say?
Hold on.
With me, man. It was the other guy.
Hold on. I have to play the appropriate music for when the Russians walk in. Here comes the car. Here comes the carnival.
Circus is in town.
Well, you know, they do it with a serious face too. Yes, the Brits, they staged those, the poisoning of that former Russian spy.
Oh, yeah.
And they've also staged the two other poisonings with radiation that has been done to former intelligence officers in the Russian or / Soviet military complex. And now,
yeah.
And then they blamed it on us. And now they're doing it again in Syria. What is up with them? The Brits, why can't they leave us alone? We're here in peace to help.
Yeah, all we're saying is give peace a chance. That was popular back in the 70s.
It's
on time now.
I wanted them to use that song after all that, after the stupidity in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
And it's like you have four people that are having a rally in some city, and 100,000 people show up for it, right?
Yeah.
Come on, do it like the 60s, man. Put this on and have everybody sing it, and then just give them the peace sign.
Yeah.
And here it is.
All we are saying.
And any asshole can sing this.
Yeah.
Memo to the Russians, man. John Lennon, man. What? You know what? John Lennon. Where were you when John Lennon got killed? I couldn't.
That was 75, I think. Wasn't it?
I thought it was later. I thought it was later than that.
Yeah. I was in Washington State running the Blue Parrot. Yeah, that's where I was. I was in Port Townsend, Washington, running my breakfast restaurant, the Blue Parrot. Yep, that's where I was.
John
and I was
Winston Lennon.
Yeah.
Died in 1980 in Manhattan, December 8th, the day after my birthday.
In front of the Dakota Hotel, he got shot.
That's lame. Yeah, that sucked. All right. Let's talk about, it's a good song, though. I played this one day.
Yeah?
I don't know. It was during that Charlottesville stuff. And
yeah.
I sent an email. I put a blast out on Twitter. Play this thing at any protest and just laugh at them. Don't take them seriously. They're idiots.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about just as much the Antifa people, the skinheads that go there to fight. Come on, man. Just give them the peace sign and run them out of town.
So, yeah. Turn your back.
Yeah, Colleen heard it, and she's like, where did that song come from? I said, it came from back when cool was cool, man.
Yeah.
I said, that's John.
I said,
that's John Lennon. She's like, wasn't he in the Beatles? I'm like, you got potential, Colleen. You got potential. The, are you superstitious? She's sick.
How's that fish doing?
She's sick. She's been coughing all week, stayed home a couple days. She got yelled at for waking me up coughing this morning. After I said, are you okay? She said, yeah. I said, then shut up with the coughing already. What's wrong with you? Dad! I'm like, oh, yeah, now we're all going to be concerned because you got a cough? Shut up. So, but she's going up to Lake Tahoe for a few days. It's her spring. Oh, yeah, it's her spring. It's her spring break. So.
Oh, geez, that's great. But they go to school until June, in the middle of June, right?
Towards the end of June, they go back after Labor Day. Kind of like the way we used to do it, which is, you know, you start after Labor Day, and then you go to like the middle, the third week in June.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like going back.
I do too.
You spent some time in Europe, and Europe is the like mother of superstitions. Are you a superstitious person on Friday the 13th?
Not really. I joke about it, but I really don't. I wouldn't get married on Friday the 13th.
You'd avoid that?
That would mean the odds are against you. But you'd have to be in Vegas for that. Who even knows what's coming there? But no, I'm really not.
You're not. So what's your biggest superstition?
My biggest superstition is not having my feet covered in my bed at night when they get cold. That's about it.
That's not a superstition.
Well, it's a fear of the boogeyman coming after me.
So you don't have a lucky rabbit's foot. You don't have a lucky hat. You don't have a when the Dodgers need a run. You don't have a lucky place that you sit in the house. You don't have
when my Dodgers are on TV. I put on my LA hat. And watch the game. I don't watch a game watch the Dodgers without my hat on. That's for sure. And then in the World Series, I haven't worn it for 20 years until this past World Series. I wear my Jackie Robinson, throwback jersey that my mother gave me, over 20 years ago. And, it still fits. Not as spaciously as it used to, but it still fits. I can button it, and that says, when are you going to get rid of that? I shot her a look that would have killed it. I says, are you kidding me?
This goes in the casket. What the? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
This goes in the casket, baby.
You're darn right, man. not in a. Snowball's chance in hell would I get rid of that thing.
Do you think it's like stupid to have like an electrical hookup for your casket so that music could be played in your casket so that you could like, you could feel relaxed in there?
If the power source had run out unless you had, had a wireless.
Yeah, no.
So you could have a stream of music.
You could wire it. I just want it wired in. Like, there's lights in the cemetery. Can I not, like, splice off the light? And I just need, you know, a small set of speakers, Bose speakers. I like good sound. I like.
Yeah, at your feet.
Well, no. Why not at my feet? They'll be, like, next to each shoulder.
Yeah. One by each ear.
Yeah, there you go. So it got a little stereo going. All I need is a power source. Do you think is that a stupid request?
It's exceptionally stupid, but very, very understandable and would be very appreciated by you.
Oh, yeah.
And I would not have stereophonic. I would have quadraphonic.
Okay,
I'd have speakers at my feet, at my waist, at my head.
Surround sound.
Wow. And you could hear that music 6 feet under. That's how loud it would be. And right attached, yeah, now you got me thinking about it. And right beside the, coming up, I'd drill a hole in the tombstone.
Ooh.
And I'd have, an antenna coming up.
Oh, so you could get it?
So it would stream music, continuously, 24/7.
I know, but you wouldn't need an antenna. You could just have your playlist on an on some kind of device down there, and it would play your music. You wouldn't have to, you know, you wouldn't have to depend on some idiot, you know, at some FM station in town to go ahead and play it. So just a thought. I don't think that's a bad idea. The other idea I have is recording your own eulogy. I think that.
Oh, I am doing. I've already done that.
I think that's a good idea. I mean, could you imagine, Kim, how funny? How funny it would be. For instance, in fact, I'd like to interview you for your eulogy, and as kind of a test run. And so we'd have somebody like Bob. Bob is one of Kim's hetero life partners.
My two hetero life partners.
Yeah. So
Bob and you.
Me and Bob. So Bob would go up on stage and he'd act like he was going to give this big eulogy, and then he'd like look up and smile and say, "Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. Kim's done his own eulogy, so here you go." And he'd flip the switch, right? And then you'd be like, "Hey, everybody, welcome to my funeral. I'm here with Mac, and Mac's going to conduct a little interview. And I've got a few things I want to make sure everybody knows." And so I just start teeing them up. "Hey, so are you surprised, Kim, that you're dead?" And then you could talk about it.
I could riff on every question you gave me. And you know I'd have some smart ass answer.
No, but it would make everybody it would make everybody laugh, right? Like, who needs somebody to stand up and say all this lame shit about them? It's good, but you know what? It should be the spirit of the person. And what can convey the spirit of the person better than the person themselves? That's right.
Well, I can't agree with you more.
We have to do that.
Okay.
And then what you do is you have, like, I don't know what you have, kind of after this thing starts, but you have something kind of wheeled in to the, like, the party room, and you say, and then we get to, like, okay, so what's going to happen, like, as soon as we're done with this? Okay, everybody's going to stand up and say, "Hallelujah, Kimmy." We're going to sing "All We Are Saying Is Give Peace a Chance," and then we're going into the party room, and you're going to see champagne, and you're going to see mimosas, and the music's going to be on, and I want everybody to have a good time, and I want you to go up and hug my family and tell them what a great human being I was, even when I wasn't, and go about your day and just never forget Kimmy, Kimmy, Cocoa Puffs. Right? And so...
Yeah. I want to throw a party. I definitely don't want a eulogy of anything other than humor.
Yeah.
And there are lots of friends that would not say a kind word, but would be funnier than shit. And that's their way of saying kind words. And wouldn't say, "Oh, woe is me. He was taken too soon." And that's all bullshit.
Yeah, you know. Truth be told.
For my 70th birthday, I had a bunch of friends out from the East Coast. They surprised me. And I comped their room. I comped all the food and drinks for the weekend.
Ooh.
And they're leaving the table on Saturday night. And they all walk by me. And they drop $10 in front of me. All 12 of them. And I got indignant. I got really pissed off. I said, I got the tip. And this one guy, Chucky Schwartz, says, "Hell no, Holmes. We all lost the bet. You're still alive." That's the kind of friends I have.
That's a great story.
I beat the Deadpool.
That is an awesome story. And that you always hear that and you're like, you know, 75 was way too young to be taken from us. What? What? You're 25 years from 100, man. That's a pretty good run.
It's a phenomenal run.
Yeah.
And it really is a phenomenal run. And I'm digging it right now. And, you know, turned 74 in March. And I just, you know, had a little bout with the chest cold, but I'm back on the feet. It's good. And,
I think my idea of recording your own eulogy is the way to go. Honestly, I do. And one, it's funny. Okay. Two, you're going to make everybody else laugh. All right.
Yeah.
And
well, what I have done, Matt, is you know, the obituary stuff.
Right.
I wrote that already.
What did you write?
Because I don't want somebody to pick the paper up and say, oh, so-and-so, he's gone, yada, yada, he leaves behind, yada, yada, yada. Not even close will mine be like that. And that'll be on the program plus a song list.
I love that.
A music.
When you write your own obituary, you know, you can pay for them and they'll publish whatever you want. I think if they do it for free, there's.
Pay for them in this town now.
Oh, really? I think that's the way it is in most places. They don't do that anymore.
It is now. They got to make money any way they can, newspapers.
Yeah. And so.
I just want to say what a great time I had give a little a glimpse at my adventures in life and the fun I've had and thank the people that helped me get where I was.
Okay, so talk to me. So what are the elements of an obituary like that? So one is these are the most fun things I ever did?
You gotta start, you know, I came out of mine starts as I came out of the chute March 22nd, 1944, screaming, kicking, and pissing and shitting. And it goes on from there. And a little rundown of, my trials and tribulations and, how much fun I had.
Okay. So you document how much?
When you lose your dad and you're 6 and a half years old, you don't do maudlin stuff. You have to have fun because you got to live two lives then, and that's pretty much how I've lived mine and my dad's. I know he had a lot of fun when I'm going through his log book for flights in Europe over D-Day and stuff, and I come across a half a dozen of these cards, and they're the private drinking clubs. And you had to belong to some kind of club if you're an officer in the armed service during World War II and you know, you're in the back staging areas, and they have all these little private clubs that you show your card and you go in and then you drink. And he had a half a dozen of them. I'm like, oh, when he wasn't flying, I knew what he was doing.
Yeah, that was when war was good, man. You could go have a good time. As long as you survived, you were having a good time. It's not that way anymore. It's not. When we started going to the Muslim world, all the fun ended. It's not a fun culture, okay? Just so in case people.
It's a culture that most people don't want to be around.
Yeah, it's not. And, yeah, it's not a good. It's not
I'm
a good.
Sorry, I'm
not
sorry.
A good.
I spent 2 months in North Africa just being traveling around in a microbus with six other people, and there were times when I knew I wasn't liked.
No. It's not a Western culture, and it's not in terms of drinking. Now, not that they don't do it, but, you know, they only do it amongst themselves and all the rest of that stuff. What about, okay, so you talk about your what you've done in your life, and then and then how do you wind things up? You got to thank some people, yeah?
Yeah, I thank everybody, and then just
right off in the sunset?
Yeah, I'm shooting through to the other side.
All right. Interesting.
I think it's not like leaving.
Okay.
I haven't read it for a couple of years, so I might have to make some revisions.
Yeah, you might want to check it out. You might want to check it out. What about all right, let's transition. We'll talk about food. Let's talk about something healthy that tastes really good.
Okay. I sent you, Beth sent you, a picture of four sauces.
Four what?
And I was, sauces.
Sauces. Today?
Sauce. Yeah, like a soy substitute, one with garlic sauce, and one just an amino, they're amino sauces, they're soy substitute, they taste like soy sauce. But they don't have the salt. Now, a soy sauce in a tablespoon will have anywhere from 800 to 900 mg of sodium. That's a tablespoon. These sauces, you have the pictures of, have, one has 60 and one has 90 per tablespoon.
Whoa.
And then I send you, which is made in L.A., by Vietnamese expats, a sriracha sauce. And it's a hot chili sauce that I want you to try instead of Tabasco. And you like the heat, but it's not too heat. And I've used it in my restaurants ever since I had the Blue Parrot in Port Townsend. And when I did my breakfast place, and I'd have a little container with whatever jam I had, strawberry, blueberry, or English, or marmalade, one of those three. I'd have a sriracha. I'd have ketchup and salt and pepper. I refused to put Tabasco because I found this in the International District in Seattle, and I tried it, and I said, holy mackerel. And then the smaller sauce is called pica-pepper, pica-peppa, P-P-A. And it's from Jamaica. And that's what I based the North Dakota Prairie sauce on. I tried I found it in the grocery store and I tasted it. It took me about 6 months of buying these things. They're not cheap. But the flavor will drive you wild. All you need is a jar of that. And, you know, and these, the garlic soy substitute and just the coconut soy substitute are fabulous in stir fries. They're virtually no salt. There's no sugar. They're gluten-free. They're wheat-free. They're, what is it? Low sodium, gluten-free, vegan. They're also vegan. And so these are sauces that you can use in stir fries to add to your vegetables to give it some punch. And if you're making, like with coconut milk, you're making a curry, you add this stuff to give it a little, the sriracha. The pica pepper is a little bit hot, not too hot. But it adds so much to sautés, whether using rice noodles. Now, we talked a little bit last week about going into a Asian grocery store and you buy vegetable, which is a smaller type of cabbage, an Asian cabbage,
right?
Bok choy. And that's just killer. I used to serve that at Sanders as the vegetable, and I'd sauté it and braise it and olive oil, and I'd throw a little of this soy in there to give it a little punch. set. They were kick ass. And you know, but do yourselves a favor, and if you don't have an Asian market, go to the Asian import food section, where they have the Mexican and the Asian things, a little section, and look all that stuff up. Every grocery store today has sriracha sauce. And, man, you know, once you open it, you refrigerate it, and it'll last 6 months in your fridge. And, you buy the smallest, a small bottle. It goes pretty fast, but, you don't want to, you get them in quart sizes. And it took me, over a year to go through a quart. I buy them in like, pint size. It's pretty cool. It's made at the Hoi Fong Foods Incorporated in, on Canyon Road in Irwindale, California.
Irwindale. The Raiders were going to move there once.
Yeah, that's right. They were, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
But it, those are the things that you want to look for.
Now, he did not preference this because he doesn't do it like that. But this is all having to do with an email that we got last week that talked about sauces. And is there, you know, are there things that Kim does relative to sauces? So that's how we got to this point in time right now. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And my wife, as you are, gluten free, and wheat messes her up big time. Her stomach, headaches, and somehow she came on with it. When they start putting all these preservatives and stuff, and they, you know, they add chemicals when they're growing wheat and everything to make it bigger and grow faster. Same with beef. You know, you have to find, you have to ask your butcher when you go on the beach to buy whether chicken or beef, you know, or pork. You know, I don't want any growth hormones. I don't need steroids, and you know, byproducts and stuff. You want a grass-fed or naturally grazed, you know, not cage chickens or cage eggs, but free-range eggs that run around the yard.
Okay, I'm done with that. I'm bored with that.
Okay.
What else do I want to talk about today in terms of food? So that's our healthy food segment. What else do I want to talk about?
Well, just don't want to go what you were talking about earlier before I came on.
What?
The current situation in D.C.
I wasn't talking about D.C., though. I was talking about Syria.
Yeah, you were talking about Syria.
I'm talking about Syria.
It's all the same shit. But I, you know, let's talk food. What have you been eating lately? Have you, do you do anything with, wheat pasta? I mean, not wheat pasta, but, gluten-free pastas? You're pretty much a taco guy, aren't you?
They're easy, and you can do a bunch of different things. So I mean, when Colleen's here and then Patrick's here on occasion, you know, we cook larger meals. But I guess
I'm like you now. I don't eat three squares a day. We have one meal a day in the middle of the day, and that's it. You know, when I get a chance to dive into a steak, I'm more into chicken and fish today. God, I had no idea. And you know, there's so many ways you can do chicken. You have, you can pre-cook, like, as you know, my favorite rice is wild rice because it's cheap and plentiful in this part of the world. Brown rice, if you season it up, with some of the sauces I mentioned earlier, it gives it some decent flavor. White rice, I also, but that's nothing. There's a lot of carbs in white rice.
But here's an email. Here's an email question for you. Mac, what advice would Kim give to the rest of us on living a happy life? I find your music in the casket laughable.
Of course it is. That's the whole point.
I find your giving your own eulogy thought-provoking. I share your sentiment. I don't want people to be sad. I've lived a happy life. I've lived a good life. Maybe I should be...
celebrated.
Maybe I should be thanking people that day, and they should hear my healthy voice, not remember me as I was circling the drain. Again, I will use a quote that I've heard others use on this quote that quotes you quoting your father. That the sun shines on the ass of a dog every once in a while. Well done, boys.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my MP3 out, and I'm going to begin recording my eulogy. How long do you think it should be? At least 2 hours. At least two hours.
You know, but if it's 2 hours, you have to have a video going.
Maybe. Or serve cocktails during the eulogy. All right. There's servers going to walking up and down the pews of the church. Order whatever beverage you, your beverage of chores, and sit back and relax, because I got some things to say.
Those push carts in an airplane. What would you like to drink, sir? We have gin, vodka, rum, or bourbon. And what would you like that mixed with? Would you like a bag of peanuts with your drink? And that's what I would do. You know, that kind of stuff. And I'm an Episcopalian, so I can get away with that shit because my minister here is a piece of work.
Oh, really?
God, he's the best. He's an Irishman, Father Shannon, and he's got this big red beard and a ponytail. He's a stud muffin. And so, you know, he would allow that to happen, you know. have everything have the whole service done in a restaurant or a bar and not in a church. You know, you have your choice. It's your party, man.
That's your party.
And that's all that it should be, is a celebration, with the people that knew you and had a great time with you. And even those that you pissed off, and just say, "Well, I got to give him his due. He knew how to go out in style."
That's right.
And
you could also talk some trash about somebody because you're dead. So it's not like they can come back and get back at you. You could say, "You know what? And I got something to say about Kim Holmes. That guy, straight up jackass. If you see him when he turns around after he's done talking to you." Go ahead and spit on his back for me. Remember old Mac. Just give him a big loogie right on the back. You could get into people.
You know,
you're dead. Who cares?
That's some funny shit. And when you do stuff like that, to me, that's hilarious. And when you trash talk a deceased person, not only does it take balls, but it's funnier than shit because you're doing it.
Right.
In my mind.
Right.
And because you know, you wouldn't come if you didn't want to say something that, I don't want to, I just don't want to hear woe is me one time.
Oh, yeah.
And,
come on.
Fucker. You know, give him tight up and leave me alone. You know.
No, but you know, that's when I first came up with the idea. You know, I like, ah, oh, this is funny. But then the more I've thought about it, the more I like the idea. And I think, I don't think it's a bad idea. And I think it should transition. This could revolutionize the funeral business. It's more of
they'd be pissed off.
It's a.
No, maybe.
Oh, Kim, I've got a business. I've got a business. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly the name of the business, but the tagline is, they put the fun in funeral. Because the first three letters of funeral are F-U-N, right?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
they put the fun in funeral.
That's some solid stuff. Yeah. And I would have, you're too young for this, but back in nightclubs, there used to be, you've seen them in the movies, this babe in this little one-piece swimsuit kind of thing with her breasts hanging out, tight waist, and just a knockout, and going around, and she had this little tray with a strap around her neck, and she'd go around cigars, cigarettes, cigarillos, through the restaurant. And I'd have somebody like that going around. A dinner, a fatty, a bong. But yeah, I wouldn't. But, you know, that's...
What do you mean you wouldn't? Maybe we should have this in just an auditorium, okay? We'll just have it in an auditorium. We'll stay out of the church.
Why are
they having it at the clubhouse and not at a church? I don't know. He's very adamant that he wanted to have it in a public place, and he wasn't really concerned about having it in a church. And then after the girl comes out and is like, "Oh, this is not a normal funeral. This is more of a party." And that's when the whole thing comes out. Like, yeah, this is going to be a funeral, not a funeral. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great word, a funeral.
<You're good.
laughs> Oh, amen, brother.
Right, and then, you know, and then everybody's going to leave, and they're going to be laughing, and they're certainly going to miss you like they should, but you know what? It's not going to be this horrible day. They're going to hear your voice. You're going to make them laugh. It's going to be a party. They're going to have fun, and you know what they're going to say? You know what? Even in death, that dude's a righteous dude, man. He was good.
Yeah,
he
knew how to throw a party.
That's
right. A good party.
That's right.
And that's how I approach my restaurant every night. And I thank my grandmother Omi for that, the Ladies Home Journal woman, because she threw the best goddamn parties ever. And they knew a lot of people and it was always fun. And so, when I opened the doors to the restaurant, it was even when it was a blue parrot for breakfast, I wanted everybody to start their day with a double espresso, a smile on their face, maybe a little shot of something in their coffee, and a good solid breakfast, and they wouldn't have to eat till dinner. But, you know, I want them smiling when they leave my joints. And I always have, and that's how it should be. Always.
I agree.
We all work hard enough, but you know, light up and leave me alone, as the song goes by Stevie Wonder. But you know, there's so much shit raining down on us, our society today, ignore most of it and relax and enjoy yourself. You're only here a short time on this earth, and you might as well be smiling as much as you can during that time.
Right.
And I just think it's the righteous way to approach it. You know, you just You just pretty much have to. We all have, most of us have at one time, even the restaurant business is serious business when it came paying the bills and firing people that weren't pulling their weight.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. I told Colleen that if the hearse drives slow to the cemetery, said, Colleen, first of all, the music inside the hearse needs to be loud, okay? He needs to drive fast, because that's how I drive. I don't drive fast. I don't drive fast, especially like through neighborhoods. But when he gets on the freeway, he needs to like go, okay? This whole 45 miles an hour with our lights on, that ain't happening. All right.
You can do 75 with the lights on.
Great thing. 75. Hearst doing 75 with the lights on. Yeah, and tell me that the cops wouldn't tell me that the escorts wouldn't like that. Yeah, they'd be like, we're going to be done sooner. Because you know they get
They'd all have to be motorcycle cops.
Yeah, they all would be. Come on.
I don't want any black and white units. I don't want the guys with the high jack boots and the shiny helmets and the tight pants and armed to the hilt. I love that shit, man. I remember seeing those cops blow by me in California on the motorcycles when I lived there. I just loved that shit, man. And they were Harleys then. They weren't the Japanese bikes. All the bikes in the early days were Harleys.
Machos. All right, hold on. Email. Hey, Mac, those caskets are expensive. So do you have a run-of-the-mill pine box, no bells or whistles, or a Cadillac? Shiny, nice wood, colorful, etc. You know, I have not really looked into that stuff. The wave of the future is cremation, right? And that's cheaper than any of them. But I don't know. Well, see, I have to accommodate Joe and Jack are going with me. All right.
Yeah.
So
well,
there's going to be three of us in there. And so I would get something that would be functional. I don't need it to be ornate, okay? I need it to be watertight in case the cryogenic thing, they can get me out and like reinvigorate my life. I need to be like, yeah. I don't want them to open the box and go, "Oh shit, look at that." They're like, "Oh yeah, hook him up, let's go." And I'll wake up and go, "Whoa, what's up? What's going on? I thought I died." Like, "You did. You did, but we figured it out. You're 15 again." I'm like, "No friggin' way. This is awesome. Who invented this?" Like, I don't know. So, yeah, so it would have to be something like that. As Johnny Carson said, hermetically sealed, a little bit of music in there, me, Jack, and Joe. And so just in case, they got to bring me back. Because, look, if you get cremated and they have to, you know, it's not like you can add water and all of a sudden you're back. Boom. You're done when you go cremation route. So I'm just banking on a long shot, I know, right, but humor me, that maybe they'll bring me back from the dead. And so something functional and modest, okay? And it could be along the lines of, you know, just like your basic military casket, okay? Just functional, streamlined, boom, done. So that's how I see it, all right? That's me anyway. Kim, how about you?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Mine is going to be as inexpensive as I can get.
Yes.
It's going to be lined with tie-dye stuff. If the box itself will be painted in psychedelic day glow colors and might have a few lights that are blinking and flashing.
Like the Scooby-Doo bus, something like that?
Yeah, more Fillmore Auditorium.
Oh, then, okay.
Psychedelic.
Okay.
Paint jobs. Like Ken Kesey's bus was.
Okay.
And that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to get cremated. But
why are we getting the? Oh, so you're doing both?
Oh yeah, I want the show, and then I want to hit the dusty trail.
The show and go.
Yeah, show and go, and then anybody wants a scoop of the ashes, take a little film canister, fill it up, and then throw it around wherever you are, wherever you go. So I'll be all around you.
You'll be everywhere.
That's it.
Wow, yeah. that's all right. Here's another email. Fun, yeah. Quote unquote fun, all caps in funerals. When Greg died, this is her husband. We held a service at a funeral home. The pastor who spoke was awesome and told stories about Greg, which had us all laughing. Yeah. And the last song we played before we ended the service was Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky. After the service, the funeral director told me.
I remember that song.
He had been in the back watching. He said that at least 75% of the people were either tapping their feet or bobbing their heads to the song. It's what I wanted for Greg, a send-off that had smiles and laughter, and we accompanied that. And we accomplished that. I don't know. I think where the genesis of my idea was my father-in-law at his funeral. At the end, they played "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," and it changed the whole mood of the event. Very heavy, passed away unexpectedly. I want to say at the age of 72. So he had a great run. He lived on his terms. And so I've never forgotten hearing, and I didn't know it was going to happen. All of a sudden, the funeral's ending and it's the recessional march, and all of a sudden Take Me Out to the Ball Game comes on and everybody's laughing. And I thought, you know what? First of all, the funeral isn't for you, okay? You've already exited the building. The funeral's for everybody else, okay? To include your kids and the people you love. So how would you leave them? You have to leave them laughing and smiling and knowing how much you love them and how great they made your life, and hopefully that you reciprocated that. So to me, I've got a little business. We've got some business work to do, because we have got to get this heavy, fourth century funeral bullshit out of the. Come on, man.
It is called a celebration.
Lame. Make it put the fun back in funeral, okay? Because look, nobody. It's like, oh yeah, their kids were there sobbing, and it was horrible, it was terrible, it was so sad. Like, yeah, no shit, we got it, okay? Everybody's life's gonna change, but guess what? We had each other, we had a great run, I loved you, you made my life so good, and I hope that I reciprocated. I hope I made your life just as good. I hope I made you smile. I hope I made you laugh. I hope when you think of me, you think of those things and not some of the other craziness. All right. So let me give you, let me give you the eulogy. So when you think of me, these are the only things you can think of. Okay. Everything else, come on. Cut me a husk and make them laugh. Give them, continue to give in your funeral what you gave in life. Don't let them go out like, come on, who needs that shit? So anyway, okay, here's another email.
Yeah.
He was in a casket. He was cremated afterwards. Okay, let me just memo to everybody. No more. Everybody say this again. No more open caskets at funerals. Okay?
Oh, hell no.
Like, I'm not sure where that idea came from, okay? Let's let everybody go up and gaze at a dead body. Come on. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous.
That is the worst makeup job ever.
Ever seen.
And that person isn't the person you remembered.
No.
And I'm not a fan of open caskets. When they are, I don't go up and look.
Yeah, like, I don't want, that's not. Like,
I don't. I refuse. I've refused for years.
Yeah,
I'm not going there.
I don't do that. And I don't like it when they put them in the foyer so you can see when you walk in, like, oh, whoa, hey, time the fuck out. Who did this? You know, this can be bad. You know, it's just not good. And let me tell you, and there's most women are very, no, you won't be seeing me. First of all, I put on my makeup. Nobody else putting on makeup on me. Yeah, and I can't trust that it's going to be done right. I can't. And I'm going to trust that all these people are going to come see me when I'm dead with somebody else putting on my makeup? Hello? Ain't happening, girlfriend.
No, thank you.
Ain't happening, girlfriend. Yeah, women, they don't mess around with that shit. Anywho. Yeah. So there you have some thoughts. Putting the fun back in funeral. I say make it, as Kim and I, people say that, oh, I want it to be a part of, but they don't do anything about it. What we're going to, if you need help with your eulogy, you can email me here at All Marine Radio. I'm more than happy. I'll create the MP3 file. That's a business, Kim. Putting the fun back in funeral. Here's your eulogy. Okay. Then I'll lay out the questions if you don't have any, and then you can just fill in the blanks. I'll tee it up. You whack them.
And here's another thing.
I'll lay a little music down to it.
Nobody, if they're going to come up and say something, they have to know that they have to talk trash. They can't be maudlin. They get and I know my friends would never get up and be maudlin and sad. They would trash me up one side and down the other, and everybody be laughing because that's how I've always been with them, and we've been with each other, and so. If it comes to that, but I would not let anyone get up and say any sad shit, period.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on, man. This is a party. Why are you going to jack the party up? Don't be that guy. Don't be that woman. Don't jack the party.
The music is paramount.
Yeah.
You have to have great tunes.
Yeah, you know what? And let me just tell you about the music. It should be your favorite music. So when they get out of their car, so they pull up to the funeral, they're bummed out, they put on their coat, right? They grab they're walking up, so they're with their wife, right? And they're like, and all of a sudden they hear this music, right? they hear music, right? So they hear, like, what is that? Like, is there something else going on? Yeah, is there something else going on adjacent to this? Shouldn't they turn their music down a little bit? Like, I think that's coming from Mac's funeral. What? And then you stick your head in, and there's people in there laughing and smiling. And they say, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Hey, and you got it for the air. Right? But anyway. The whole vibe is different. So again, I just there's enough sadness and people can do that in their own time. When we're together talking about it. If you need help with your eulogy, just shoot me an email. I'll be more than happy to help you out with it.
If Mac has problems, he'll contact me. And we'll work on it together.
Yeah, we. But no reason.
No,
come on.
No tears, baby. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
No. Yeah, exactly.
It's showtime, baby.
It's a great run. And the only thing I want you to do is commit to living it hard, living it fast, and cramming as much life into it. If you walk away out of here today with one thing, have it be fun and you know, treasure your friends and make sure that they know how important they were to you. And if you've done that, then you lived it about as good as you can live it. And so, and if that's the moral of the day, then leave your moral on them when they walk away. And if you do, if you do that, you never leave them. They always have you. And so I'm a fan of that. Put the fun back in funeral. Yeah.
Yeah. That is brilliant.
And I think that you have to do your own. I think you have to do your own eulogy, or at least a part of it. Now you can have other people come up, and
you have to say something that's recorded, pre-recorded, and whether it's just a tape or it's a video. But you have to do something or both. And I just, you know, that's what I'm going to try and do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because that sets the tone. I think the reason that's important is.
And you lead with that.
Right.
You lead with that.
Yeah. You set the tone and that way.
All Father Shannon is going to do is direct the show.
Yeah.
Because everybody will want to say something or be irreverent or whatever. And he's got to keep the pace going and the music going. And well, there'll be a playlist anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, it should be fun. Absolutely, positively should be fun, and it should be inspirational. It should be, it should be all that. So anyway, all right. What do you got? Any big plans for the weekend?
Well, I'm going to watch the spring game on UND on television tonight. They're see if they got any chops this year. They're in the same league as NDSU now.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah, no shit. But there'll be some good baseball on this weekend. The weekend's here.
You still haven't got the MLB. You still don't watch your Dodgers on a nightly basis. I think that's a crime against humanity. What are you waiting for? Have you ever seen an armored car following a hearse? It's $100. You can watch the Dodgers every night. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm gonna do it.
It's a crime. It's a crime. They're not playing that well. Yeah. So they're not playing that well, so you might want to wait a little while.
No, they've lost more than they've won.
I know they suck. They're like the Yankees. Not doing well. But they will. They'll be all right. Dodgers will be all right.
Well, it's early, man. You know, you got to hit bottom before you can go to the top.
Yeah, I don't know.
Three more times, and both teams are going to rise at the end.
All right, there you have
we'll
it.
Be there at the finish line.
All right, there he is, the All Marine Radio head chef, giving funeral advice on a Friday. On a Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Sir, thanks for the visit.
And some sauce.
And some sauce. Yes. All right, you'll see all that on the website here shortly. Kim, have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too, my man, and best to everyone.
There you have it, the All Marine Radio head chef on a Friday. The Gunner next.
There you have it, the chef, putting the fun back in funerals. In fact, I sat here, it's the second time in a week I've listened to that, and I sat here and I laughed today. Colleen walks in and she said, "What are you laughing for?" I said, "Don't worry about it." She's like, "All right." But come on, that's funny. And you know what? I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think, you know, your funeral, my funeral, they should be the last things that you give the people that love you. And they should be fun. They should not be, you know, it's already a difficult enough time with not too much planning. It'll take you an hour to do your eulogy. and select the music you want, right? And with a little creativity, you could make it, you know, a send-off that they'll always remember. And hopefully what they'll remember about you is the way you cared about easing their pain. And ultimately they'll, you know, the last brick in the wall of your life, and said, you know what, even the way he choreographed his passing and how we dealt with it, you know, even in death, he or she continued to give to us, to ease our pain, to make us smile and make the day easier for us, which hopefully is a statement about you. So to me, I see it as, you know, an act of giving, because funerals suck. You know, I mean, I hate death. And, I mean, it's the one thing that, you know, is non-negotiable. Can't go back and say, I just want to say I'm sorry. I can't go back and say, you know, there is no do-over. Can't say I love you. Can't do any of that. It's just there. It sucks. So whatever you can do to make it easier for the people that you love, I think it's a cool thing. So don't touch that dial. We talked about, you know, the way different states are, and you've heard this discussion throughout the week of the, you know, governors acting like dictators. You see people protesting. Some of the random stupidity of applying a set of rules. Some regions have the COVID-19 virus. Others are unaffected, but the same rules are in effect for both counties. And now you're seeing people start to really bristle and say, not having it anymore. Business owners opening up, you know, across the country and saying, I don't care. You can cite me. You can arrest me. I'm not closing my business. And so you're seeing more and more of that. I believe, though, what will make elected officials from county commissions to city councils to states and even the federal government is look at the state projected state budget deficits. Where's that money coming from? Federal government, you know, ultimately may say, you know what, we're responsible for X amount of your pain with our initial measures. However, on this day, and we'll make an estimate, however, on this day, you know, you were left to your own, and you're going to have to raise revenue in your own state. That means you're going to have to raise taxes or cut spending, whatever you want to do. And so, to me, that is what moves politicians. You know, they will get up and be sanctimonious when it has to deal with you. When it has to deal with their careers, it completely changes the calculus of the equation. Right? And I'll make a prediction. California is going to be open for business pretty soon because of that budget deficit that the governor is staring in the face and the uncertainty of any kind of rescue package, you know, by the federal government. And even if there is a rescue package, it ain't going to be $54 billion. And that's what the state of California needs. State of New York, $61 billion. And that number continues to go up as he keeps that state locked down. State of Washington, $7 billion. Michigan, $3 billion. Colorado, $7 billion. Right? Yeah. So if you want to see, you know, the economic reality is always the great soberizer, if you will. So with all that said, we'll talk about that in hour one. I'm really excited. I'm going to get a chance to record an interview in about 45 minutes with Joe Galloway, best-selling author, Vietnam War correspondent, one of the principals and one of the consultants in the Ken Burns documentary on the Vietnam War. So you'll hear that on Tuesday, Alex Hollings on Monday, And then you're going to hear from a Marine Major Captain, or I'm sorry, Marine Major Janelle Hemp on Wednesday. Her story about struggling, about crossing paths with post-traumatic winning. And so I think you'll enjoy that as well. So next week is going to be a cool week of radio. So with all that said, have a great weekend. Good luck. God bless you. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.